Jerry Bader Show 1035. I'm pretty sure I say this every year, but this year just seems even more so. I cannot believe it's Thanksgiving already. Next week. I can't. I am beyond just, it's like my internal calendar is so screwed up. Now, you think it would have been caught up with the cold weather, right? Because we had that very unseasonable warm weather, which ended, woof, and then it got cold, so you think that'd catch up. And, yeah, August to December. That's pretty much what happened. Early August to late November, at least. I mean, just wham. I love Thanksgiving. I mean, I really do. Not just the food. I love the food. I love everything about Thanksgiving. I'm really looking forward to it. I cannot believe that it's a week away. As Earl is the one who has to put together the best debater for a week from Thursday, seems pretty sudden to you too over there now, doesn't it? Well, you watch, and I will promote this right now. The Friday before Christmas, is that the 22nd? Yeah. Christmas Eve is Sunday. So Friday the 22nd, we will be doing the Christmas music show. I have a lot of time to put that music together, don't I, Earl? You would think, my gosh, by December 1st, you and I would be reviewing all of the songs that I put together. Yeah, he says somewhere on December 15th, he'll hear me go, geez, I better get started. Actually, no. By gosh, I am going to get started on this. I am. And I'm looking through some of the songs I played last year. Amazingly, I saved the music list, Earl. Everybody should be shocked by that. You have the last 2 years? So I may try to take it in a somewhat different direction this year, but we'll do 2 hours of Christmas music. 9 to 11 on Friday the 22nd. And I guess, because this worked very well last year, we will take requests again. Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. I was turned on to some very good music, some very good faith music as a result of that. And I appreciate that. Oh, Earl says, please put Christmas music request in subject line because it's all about making his life easier. That's why we're here, people, to make Earl's life. I'm giving you a hard time. Actually, of course, that does make things easier for Earl. Christmas music request, because we have a folder set up, do we not? Yeah. Then they don't get lost. So look how far ahead of the curve I am. I'm taking requests for this. On November 14. All right. Let's get to the latest on the Roy Moore story. Oh, man. Colin Kaepernick, GQ's Citizen of the Year. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe a word about that tomorrow. Let's start with the reporting of the New Yorker. And this New Yorker reporting is considered important because this isn't the WAPO. This is talking to people in Gadsden, Alabama. Roy Moore, the Republican Senate candidate and former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, was born in Gadsden, a small city flanked by Interstate 59 and the Coosa River, an hour northeast of Birmingham. Gadsden is hilly, woodsy, blue-collar, and religious. Legal or not, sin is sin, a sign in front of a church announced yesterday. I saw it, the author writes, as I drove around crisscrossing George Wallace Drive. I also saw Trump posters, Confederate flags, and dozens of signs for Doug Jones, the Democrat, tied with Moore in recent Senate race polls. Others, though, show Moore with a lead, as much as 10 points. Gadsden is the seat of Etowah County, which is the conservative place, Donald Trump received three times as many votes in the county as Hillary Clinton did. Statewide, he received twice as many. But I didn't, in all my driving, see a single yard sign for Moore, the hometown son. Even the parking lot of the one mall in town had more bumper stickers for Luther Strange, for Moore's opponent in the Republican primary, than for Moore himself. One, the Gadsden Mall opened in 1974. It had two department stores, Belk and Sears, one on each end. Between them on Sunday night, I walked past Books a Million, Cellular Solutions, a Japanese steakhouse, Great America, so on, blah, blah, blah. Two young security guards made their rounds. It gets rough in here on Saturday nights. We still have an active ban list, the other people said, referencing a list of chronic rule breakers not allowed on mall property. But it doesn't go back that far. He meant back to the early 80s, when Roy Moore was, many people say, a regular visitor to the mall. On Thursday, the Washington Post reported that when Moore was a 32-year-old assistant DA in Etowah County, he brought Lee Korfman, who was 14 at the time, to his home and sexually molested her. Three additional women told the Post he pursued them. On Monday, another woman, Beverly Young Nelson, said that Moore assaulted her when she was 16 years old. At a press conference, she held up a high school yearbook that she said Moore signed before the alleged assault. I'm unclear if it's on the same day or not. Two of the women say they first met Moore at the Gadsden Mall, and the Post reports that several other women who used to work there remembered Moore's frequent presence, usually alone, well-dressed in slacks and a button-down shirt. This past weekend, I spoke or messaged with more than a dozen people, including a major political figure in the state, who told me they had heard over the years that Moore had been banned from the mall because he repeatedly badgered teenage girls. Some say they heard this at the time, others in the years since. These people include five members of the local legal community, two cops who worked in the town, several people who hung out at the mall in the early 80s, and a number of former mall employees. A request for comment from the Moore campaign was not answered. Several of them ask that I leave their names out of this piece. The stories that they say they've heard for years have been swirling online in the days since the Post published its report. Sources tell me Moore was actually banned from the Gadsden Mall and the YMCA for his inappropriate behavior of soliciting sex from young girls, the independent Alabama journalist Glenn Wilson wrote on his website Sunday. Wilson declined to divulge his sources. Teresa Jones, a deputy district attorney for Etowah County in the early 80s, told CNN last week it was common knowledge that Roy dated high school girls. Jones told me that she couldn't confirm the alleged mall banning, but said it's a rumor I've heard for years. Greg Legat, who is now 59 and living in East Gadsden, was, from 1981 to 85, an employee at the Record Bar, a store that was in the Gadsden Mall. By the early 80s, Leggett told me, the mall was the place to be. There were no empty stores. A lot of kids came around, a lot of teenagers. Parents dropped their kids off at the mall, typically unchaperoned. Teens filled the place. Leggett says he saw Moore there a few times, even though his understanding then was that he had already been banned. It started around 1979, I think, Legat said. I know the ban was still in place when I got there. Legat recalled a Gadsden police officer named J.D. Thomas, now retired, who worked security at the mall. J.D. was a fixture there, and when I was working at the store, Legat said he really looked out after the kids there. He was a good guy, J.D. told me. If you see Roy, let me know. He's banned from the mall. Legat recalled Thomas telling him, if you see Moore here, tell me. I'll take care of him. Legat said that his boss, Eddie Hill, also told him to look out for Moore. A phone call to Hill's number was not returned. Thomas, who lives in nearby town of Southside, declined to discuss the existence of a ban on Moore. I don't have anything to say about that. He didn't deny it. He just wouldn't talk about it. A former manager of the mall, who began working there in the late 80s, confirmed the existence of a ban list, but did not recall Moore being on the list during the manager's tenure there. Barnes Boyle, who is 86, also managed the mall from 1981 to 98. His wife Brenda told me that Moore was a longtime acquaintance of his. They went to the YMCA together often, and that he planned to vote for him. The recent allegations against Moore, the Boyles thought, are likely liberal propaganda and, as Brenda put it, a sign of the times. The general knowledge at the time, she talked to, or the author talked to the others, Moore's presence at the mall was regarded as a problem. I was told by a girl who worked at the mall that he'd been run off from there, from a number of stores. Maybe not legally banned, but run off, one officer told me. He also said, I heard from one girl who had to tell the manager of a store at the mall to get Moore to leave her alone. All right. Whether you think it's fair or not, Roy Moore has to answer to this because these are some named, some not, people of the community. Now, yesterday, I tweeted a piece from Eric Erickson at The Resurgent, where Erickson said, you know, we've got to watch the mob mentality here. He's not a Roy Moore fan, but said we don't know that these things are true. A lot of minds have been changed after the latest woman came forward and she was found believable. I find her believable. I believe her. Scott Walker did a very quick flip. And now he says he believes Roy Moore should step aside. Just earlier yesterday, he was saying something different. Here's Eric Erickson. Conservatives, it really is time to walk away. I don't blame Roy Moore's voters for sticking with him, and I still think it is notable that the biggest pile and rush to judgment comes from establishment Republicans who have always hated Moore. I think those are fair points. But I have contended all along that the accusers were credible. Now we have a signed yearbook that in and of itself is nothing, but added to the pile starts to take on weight. Add to both the New Yorker story, which I just shared, and the local story, and he is referring to a story from AL.com, says the same thing. Gadsden locals say Moore's predatory behavior at mall restaurants, not a secret. The community knows he went trolling for teenage girls at the mall. Added to that, and the local story about Roy Moore going to the Gadsden Mall, and there is a millstone involved. As an aside, the New Yorker's reporter, Charles Bethea, has written about me in the past a couple of times. They were not fluff pieces, and while I might have preferred some things going differently, I cannot say I felt slighted, maligned, or otherwise taken out of context to advance an agenda. He was thoroughly fair and deeply probative to make sure he got his facts right. So Eric Erickson, prominent conservative, says, look, the New Yorker reporter, Charles Bethea, he's done pieces on me, and I think the guy's a good, fair reporter. The problem here is this one. Roy Moore may be innocent, but his campaign has had since Friday to put on a compelling defense and go on offense against the accusations. They have not. As a result, he has allowed others to define the situation and has seen his major national support flee. If you want to stick with him, so be it. But at some point, the ship of a campaign takes on too much water to be salvageable. More than that, we are looking at real damage to conservatives in this who are beclowning themselves with some of the most absurd defenses of Roy Moore imaginable. I have a number of friends who adore the man. They believe him. I don't know him, he writes. I have never met him. But he has failed at basic campaign fundamentals in handling the situation. He's made it worse by his own words, and the drip, drip, drip of stories is starting to solidify in the minds of voters. He will not have an electoral college to save him. I don't blame Alabama voters for feeling the need to stick with Roy Moore, Eric Erickson writes, but I do have to start wondering about national conservatives. This is not about what the other side would do, but what conservatives should do. I want to read that again, because this is exactly what I've been saying on any number of these issues, including Roy Moore. This is not about what the other side would do, but what conservatives should do. At a basic level, if Roy Moore won't defend himself sufficiently, there's no reason for the rest of us to. At a deeper level, the allegations are disturbing and credible, and putting someone in the Senate with that hanging over him is of questionable prudence that would all but eliminate the GOP's ability to be taken seriously on the matter of harassment, assault, and indecent behavior. more in public office with that level of ineptitude in his ability to defend himself right now would just be used by others to harm both Christians and conservatives in politics. Then there's the latest. Senator Ted Cruz has said much more about the accusations against Roy Moore. I'm not able to urge the people of Alabama to support his candidacy so long as these allegations remain unrefuted, Cruz said, according to the Texas Tribune. Both last week and this week, there are serious charges of criminal conduct that, if true, would not only make him unfit to serve in the Senate, but merit criminal prosecution were it not for the statute of limitations. Moore denies the charges, but his interview with Sean Hannity wasn't helpful. This is the resurgent talking. Hours after Beverly Young Nelson, along with celebrity attorney Gloria Allred, gave her tearful account of an encounter with Moore when she was 16 years old, Cruz apparently could no longer remain in his current position. Cruz added that Alabama faced an untenable choice and implored Moore to immediately drop out of the race if the accusations are true. The people of Alabama deserve to have the option of voting for a strong conservative who has not committed criminal conduct, he said. If these allegations are not true, then Judge Moore needs to come forward with a strong, persuasive rebuttal demonstrating that they are not true. And then the resurgent goes on. He's not wrong. During the press conference today, Nelson presented her high school yearbook from 1977 when Moore would have been 30. According to Nelson, Moore was a frequent customer at the diner she worked at after school. He saw her yearbook and took it upon himself to sign it. To a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas, 1977. Love, Roy Moore, D.A., 122-77 Old Hickory House. That was a week before the alleged attack, according to her. I was quite sure it wasn't the same day. It was a week before the alleged attack. Grown men don't typically sign high school girls' yearbooks, Cruz continued. As the father of two young daughters, this is a disquieting allegation. But let me repeat, Judge Moore is entitled to present a defense. And he has, writes the resurgent, but so far he's not really presenting one, especially when when residents of Etowah County, Alabama seem to be unified in that his reputation back in the 70s was that of a weird 30-year-old guy that was into high school girls. So I agree that, go ahead and play it, Earl, that Roy Moore has not defended himself well at all. And I agree, I think it's time for him to step aside. He won't, and he may in fact win. 10:54.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.